Good morning. All right, you all sound awake, but now I'm on. Let's try again. Well, good morning. Great. Now that everybody's awake, I'll know if it was me who put you to sleep or if you were asleep already. But thank you all so much for being with us this morning. I'm excited at the opportunity I have to be able to be up here today to bring you God's Word. If you're visiting with us this morning, my name is Cliff Hand. I'm the youth minister here at Hilldale. My wife and I will have completed 3 years here at the end of this month. And so we're so blessed and so thankful to be a part of this family here at Hilldale. One of the reasons I'm up here this morning is because many of our young people and our teachers and our administration are getting ready to go back to school this week. There are some who have already started. And so here towards the end of our service, we're going to have a special prayer for all of those individuals excited at the opportunity to ask God to bless them as this new school year begins. So to kind of go along with that, today I want us to talk about being rooted. I want us to talk about growing strong in faith. Not just for our young people, but adults, we never should stop growing in our faith. Our roots should always be growing deeper and deeper, and we should be falling more and more in love with our Savior Jesus Christ and our Father God. So let's begin this morning by looking at the Old Testament, and we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Here's what God says through the prophet Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and he will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt that is not inhabited. But verse 7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and does not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. All right, we begin this morning here with the prophet Jeremiah, God talking through to him to illustrate something for us today, all of us today, students and adults alike, two kinds of people. And sometimes we want to try to be both, but essentially there are two kinds of people. There is the first kind where God says, cursed is the man, and the word man here in the Old Testament refers to just mankind in general. So cursed is the individual who trusts in mankind, okay, and makes flesh their strength. So when we put our trust and our faith in this world, and we put our trust and our faith in the physical, in the flesh, we are like this bush that is in the desert with no nourishment whatsoever, completely devoid of all the nutrients that we so desperately need. But the second person, the second kind of people is those who are putting their faith in God, who are like a tree planted by the water, whose roots go out and go deep, so that no matter what comes towards this tree, and for us, if we put our trust and our faith in God, no matter what comes towards us, our leaves will stay green. And we'll continue to have all the nutrients we need because we are trusting and getting all that we need from Almighty God and His Son, Christ Jesus. Now, I have a simple question, and we're going to have a little participation this morning, okay? So this essentially illustrates what Jeremiah was just talking about. We have a tree that looks wonderful, it's got all that it needs, and then we've got this poor little plant, this little bush, who is just struggling. How many of you, and I'd like to see hands this morning, how many of you prefer in your life to put your trust in mankind and end up like the little bush be on your left? Not a single hand. How many of you prefer to put your trust in God and be like this tree who is receiving all that you need from God Almighty? Let me see. How many of you? All right. Cliff, what's the point of that? Well, the point is that it's easy for us to make that decision here amongst these, what we would call four walls, but we're in more of an octagon this morning. easy to make that decision to raise our hand amongst the peer pressure of all our fellow believers in this room, but it's a little bit harder to put this into practice. It's easy to have faith right here, right now. It's easy to look like we have faith right here, right now. It's easy to look like our roots are growing deep and where they're supposed to, and you can say, that's where I want to be. But is that where you are? Is that what you are doing? All right, I'm going over some information with you. Some of you may have heard this information before, and this information is a little bit dated, okay? It's from 2017. If anybody has more recent stats other than 2017, I want to know about them because I would love to see what they are. But here is what we know as far as a research group did in 2017. Young adults between the ages of 23 and 30 were surveyed. And not just any young adults, these were adults who said that they regularly attended church, okay, for at least 1 year while they were in high school. Now, we need to make sure that you understand the definition here of regularly attended for this particular research is twice or more a month. Now, that's not my definition of regularly attended, and hopefully it's not your definition of regularly attended, but I need you to know what's going on in this survey, okay? So, the question they were asked, reflecting upon their life after graduating from high school through their life right now, did you stop attending church regularly? All right, we're going to see two sets of numbers, one when this was done in 2007 and one when this was done in 2017. In 2007, 70% said yes, that they stopped attending church regularly. 2017, it dropped to 66%. Now, we are tempted to be encouraged with the drop in the percentage, which is great. It's a process towards the right direction, but those are still not great numbers. We can be excited that maybe it's on the mend, but what we should not be excited about is that we are still losing 2/3 of young adults from church in general once they are out of high school. So here are the top five reasons that they listed for deciding to quit attending church regularly. Number one, I moved to college and stopped. 34% gave this as one of their reasons for not attending church anymore. Number two, church members seemed judgmental and hypocritical. Now, before I go over the rest of these reasons, we could stop and have a conversation about each one and how each one could be addressed, but my plan for you this morning is just to see what these reasons are, okay? Number three, I didn't feel connected in my church, 29%. I disagreed with the church's stance on political and social issues, 25%. And then work responsibilities, 24%. Now, overall, one of the biggest things that was mentioned by these young adults, that 47% of them said moving to college played a role. Now, I want to amend that a little bit and not just say moving to college, but moving away from home. Moving away from mom and dad, moving away from home congregation, moving away from home church was one of the main factors of not attending church anymore. Why are we looking at this morning? Because we need to know. We need to see and we need to understand what is happening with our young people. All right, decision making. 30% said they had already intended to take a break from church before they graduated high school. Almost 1/3 had already decided that once they got away from home, once they went off to school, once they went into the workforce, that they were already going to take a break. And 70% said it was not an intentional decision. What does that mean? Well, that means that workload at school or job or relationships or all kinds of other activities and interests slowly started filling up that time. And since it wasn't an intentional decision, it just kind of happened. Okay, so 30% said that they already intended to do it. 70% said it wasn't intentional, which means it took something else happening. All right, here's what we don't always look at. I've heard these numbers a lot. Lots of surveys over the years. I just started my 20th year in youth ministry back in April. Heard lots of statistics over the years, and these are, even though what we just saw, they're getting better, they have increased significantly in 20 years, okay? But what we never really look at is, what about people coming back? So can we be encouraged by the numbers of coming back? Well, we can be encouraged that there are going to be some that come back, but the numbers are still not great. Okay, so there's a 30% chance of return to those who have left, which means there's a 70% chance of those who have left of staying gone. All right, so what does that look like? So how many might leave? Well, 1 in 3 will stay. All right, I'm going to ask for some more participation this morning. This is not to say anything about any of these individuals. This is just so that we can maybe put a physical representation on this. Any and all of my students out here who are in fifth grade and up, if you wouldn't mind, would you stand for me, please? Fifth grade and up, stand. Okay, now stay standing for just a minute. All right, everybody look around the room, okay? We're not trying to embarrass them. This is just our illustration. Look and see how many young people we have staying. Now, this is just fifth grade and up, all right? Now, if I call your name, I would like for you to sit down for me, please, okay? Grayson, Aiden, Ava, Hadley, Blakely, Joshua, Lila, Alec. Make sure I did it right. Aria. Now look around again. All right, y'all can have a seat. Thank you. 1 in 3. 1 in 3 will stay. Just let that sink in for a moment. 1 in 3. If it doesn't break your heart, I don't know what else to say. Okay? Here's what we want to talk about some more. Out of those who leave, 1 in 5 might come back. Okay? 1 in 5 might come back. Out of 100, okay, these are rounded numbers. It's hard to math in the morning, okay? So the percentages are not quite perfect. But out of 100, 67 will leave and 33 will stay. And out of 67 who leave, 20 might come back, which brings us up to 53, a little over half. And that's still too many, okay? Still too many that are gone. So what do we do? So we've seen the numbers. Now, yes, numbers are relative. The who the individuals are, where they went to church, all these different things, it's all relative. But I think it's something we need to keep in our minds. So what do we do? I'm going to challenge two groups this morning. I want to challenge our students, not just because you're getting ready to go back to school, but because you need to be challenged with this. And then adults, hold tight, because we're going to get it too. For every finger Cliff does this, 10 are right back at me, okay? All right, so students, what do we do? Colossians 2, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. See to it that there is no one who takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception in accordance with human tradition, in accordance with the elementary principles of the world, rather than in accordance with Christ. Students, walk in him, having been firmly rooted. Okay? How do we do this? All right. First of all, make your faith your own. All throughout the last school year at all the area wides that we went to at the local congregations, we talked about making my faith my own. We need to be thankful for those who planted that faith in us to begin with. And I am so thankful for the people in my life, my family and friends and other individuals who planted those seeds of faith in me that I can be where I'm at today, that I have had the opportunities to be with God and be rooted and growing and be faithful. So young people, be thankful for those individuals. But now it's time for you to decide where you let your roots grow. Jeremiah said, you can either be in the wasteland or you can be by the water. You can either put your faith in mankind or you can put your faith in God. You get to now decide where those roots are going to grow. Because your parents and your grandparents and your mentors have started that process and you've started growing and you've been in this pot, okay, for right now for you to start this process. But now you get to make the decision of where you're going to be planted in your life. What decision are you making? In the desert or by the water? You have to choose to deepen your faith. If your parents could, they would make that decision for you. If I could, I would make that decision for you. There are so many people in this room, if they could make that decision for you, they would, so that your roots will grow deep where they're supposed to be and your faith will grow in God and in Christ. But you have to make that decision. You must choose to build your godly habits. I'm so thankful of all of our students who are here this morning. The majority of you have to be here this morning. You were told to get up, you were told to get ready, and you are here. But what will be great is if in your life you start choosing that this is what I want to do, and this is what I need to do because I want to do it, because I'm in love with God, not because whoever's at home is making me get up and get ready early on a Sunday morning. You must choose to see if everything you are taught in the world or in church matches with God's word. That's on you. Many of you are going to school, both the public and private schools, okay? You guys are going to be taught things that you are going to be made to regurgitate, and you need to double check whether or not those things are what God says. Is it true? Does it match up? Is what you're being taught, is it accordance with God's will? Is what Cliff is saying this morning, does it match up with the Bible? Does what your Bible teacher is going to teach you in a little while, are they matching up with what's in the Bible? While you're in church is no different than when you're at school. You need to make sure what you are hearing, what you are learning, is what God wants you to hear and what God wants you to learn. And there's only one way you can do that. You have to choose to study and pray on your own outside of these church walls. You've got to. You need to. But most importantly, I want you to grow to where you are in your faith in your life where you want to. Yes, you need to. Yes, it's incredibly important. Yes, your parents want you to. Yes, I want you to. But I'm hoping that you are falling in love enough with God as you're reading his word that you can see that this is what you want to do. And not because we have a special Sunday where Cliff is preaching at you. Get involved at church on your own without being made or waiting to be prodded. Look for opportunities that you have, yes, as a student, as a young person, to be involved with church without being made, without being pushed, without being prodded. There are so many more things we could look at, and I just don't have the time, but here's where we're going to start this morning. Make your faith your own. Make your faith your own. Because your parents, they can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. The wonderful people in this room who love you so much, they can't do it for you. All right, adults, here we come. All right, well, hang on. Let me go back. Let me finish up with students. Adults, we're coming, okay? All right, see to it that there is no one who takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit in accordance with the human tradition, in accordance with the elementary principles of the world, rather than in accordance with Christ. Check it all. Double check it all. And you can only do that if you're taking time for your personal prayers and your personal study. All right, now, adults, what do you do? Same thing. Make your faith your own. Make your faith your own. Adults, there are probably several of you sitting here this morning, and I don't know you and I don't know your heart, but I have a guess that many of you are here this morning, and your faith is still the faith of your parents. And your faith is still the faith of your grandparents. And your faith is still the faith of whoever first brought that into you, and you have yet to branch out and make your faith your own. And so we have got to do the same thing as adults, as we're asking our young people and our students to do, so that we can grow deep in our faith and we can help our students do the same. Students need to see us walking the walk. They need to see us participating. They need to see us living the Christian life. They need to see us being the example. That's not just for mom and dad. That's not just for family and grandparents. That's for all of us who are in this room, who are claiming to be a part of God's church. They need to see us living the Christian life. Because guess what? If they see the minimum out of us, I'm not going to say you, if they see the minimum out of us, then guess what their goal is? The absolute minimum. And that's where they will live, and then that's when they will go. Are you planted in the desert? Are you planted in the water? How deep are your roots? Are you demonstrating godly habits? Do people only see you praying and studying here in these four walls? Do they only see you talking about church things here? Are you reading and studying outside of this place? Are you making sure that everything that is said in church and in the world matches with what God says? We have to do that just as much as we want our young people to. Everything that's said in this pulpit, everything said in our classes, everything said at our work, everything that we see in our social media and our news outlets, we are bombarded with just as much information, sometimes a little bit more than our young people are, and we need to be checking it with God's word. I get inundated with messages and reels from people all the time showing me something that somebody out there in the world is saying about God and about his word and about all these things. And a lot of it's not worth much. We have to double check and make sure that we know what God wants. Are you planting seeds of faith in others? One of the best ways for my roots to grow deep is for me to have an opportunity to help plant those seeds in others. As I help, as I teach, my roots get a chance to grow, and it's so awesome. Are you planting, like Paul says that he did in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, I planted, and then are you watering? As he says in the same verse, as Apollos watered, we know God's going to give the increase. We do our very best. We're doing all these things to help our students and to help ourselves, but we know God is going to give that increase. And are you actively engaging in the lives of young people to form relationships? What was one of the top five reasons that said our students were walking away from the church? They did not have connections and relationships with people in the church. They can do it with people their own age most of the time. It's getting harder and harder for them as the culture goes more and more, pulling them away with the way that we have our technology and our social media and stuff. But you know what? They have a harder time building relationships with adults. It's why we push our buddy system here, why we want you to be in acting with our students here at Hilldale so that they can see you as a friend, not just as someone who is an adult who is over them, but as a friend, because they need to have that ability and that skill when they move away from home to be able to form those relationships elsewhere. I want to challenge us here at Hilldale. I want to challenge every single person in this room. I want to challenge us to bust the stat. I want to challenge us to bust the stat. I want to challenge our students, and I want to challenge our adults that we are working the best that we can to build our faith and run our roots deep in Jesus Christ because we want to and because we love him, not because we feel like we have to. I want us to make our faith our own. I want us to own our Christian life. So let me offer an invitation this morning. Have you made the most important decision you've ever made in your entire life? By deciding to be planted by the water, be planted in the water, to be buried with Christ in baptism so that your sins can be washed away. And if you haven't, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. The greatest decision you'll ever make in your entire life. And this family wants to celebrate with you while you do it. But maybe you are here this morning. You've been struggling in your faith because maybe your faith hasn't been your own. Maybe you've still been standing on mom and daddy, grandparents, other people's faith, and you know it's time that you make your faith your own. And maybe at one point in time you were planted by those waters, but something has come along and now you are living over in the desert and things are getting to you more because you haven't been relying on God. Whatever that is, let's talk and let's work through it. Let's see if we can get rid of that so that you can be firmly planted once again with your faith in Jesus Christ and not in this world, because I guarantee you this world is going to let you down. As a church, let's work together, students and adults, and let's let not these stats be the reality for us. And this morning, if you need to become a Christian, or if you need to come back to God and be planted where you need to be, please, won't you come? Together we stand and sing.